Thank you, John Guy. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, April 6th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Zimbabwe Peace Project condemns what it says is rising violence between rival factions in the ZANU-PF angling to succeed President Mugabe.
We have been quite concerned about the factional fights that are happening. And we are saying to leaders of political parties, and in this instance, we are specifically saying to ZANU-PF, they need to rein in their supporters.
The families of striking National Railways of Zimbabwe workers camp at some premises of the NRZ.
What I can simply say, all those who are renting, those who don't own houses, all of them, they are jobbing for.
Police block a public protest over the repatriation of Zimbabwean women stranded in Kuwait.
And children of former freedom fighters say they are failing to make ends meet.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The Zimbabwe Peace Project has condemned what it says is rising violence between rival factions in ZANU-PF angling to succeed President Mugabe. In a statement today, the rights group called on the party's leadership to, quote, rein in internecine factional fights which have gone on for far too long with increasing social cost. It cited a ZANU-PF group in Midlands calling itself Al-Shabaab, saying it was harassing party members who went to Harare last week to welcome Mr. Mugabe from his Japanese trip. ZPP Director Justina Mukoko says they are greatly disturbed by the ZANU-PF clashes.
We have been quite concerned about the factional fights that are happening. And we are saying to leaders of political parties, and in this instance, we are specifically saying to ZANU-PF, they need to rein in their supporters. And I think as an organization, what we are recognizing is that there is a violation of people's rights, because people have the right and the freedom to associate with whoever they want to associate with. And if people have traveled to Harare because they wanted to be part of a process in Harare, there was no need for anyone else to want to violate their rights and then physically attack them.
You are also citing this group calling itself Al-Shabaab in Kwekwe. Which faction, if any, does it identify itself with?
We are not really concerned about whoever is the faction leader, but we are saying that they need to do away with violence. Allow people to be able to choose what they want. It is the violence that is coming out of all this that is of concern to us.
How widespread is this violence? Is it confined to Kwekwe or it's becoming a national problem?
This is a problem that is growing in most parts of the country. And if you look at our report in the last few months, we have spoken a lot about how intra-party conflict is growing. And I think this is a cancer that needs to be nipped in the bud.
That was Zimbabwe Peace Project Director Justina Mukoko on the line from Harare.
ZANU-PF parliamentarian Joseph Chuma says his party does not condone violence, adding those perpetrating violence will be arrested.
The ZPP says that there is a group calling itself Al-Shabaab in Midlands which attacked the youths who were traveling to Harare to welcome Mr. Mugabe at the weekend.
I'm glad that this civic organization has actually even identified and named the group of people that did that. And I'm glad they didn't say ZANU-PF attacked people in Kwekwe, but it's clearly said that the Al-Shabaab group has done that. And so, according to our constitution...
Sorry for that technical hitch. Meanwhile, President Robert Mugabe is expected to hold a crucial meeting with unsettled war veterans tomorrow who are unhappy over how they are being treated by ZANU-PF. They are demanding a major political stake in the party and in Zimbabwe in general.
Striking National Railways of Zimbabwe workers' families have joined them and camped at the Parastatals Lokinva Rugare marshalling yards in Harare, demanding payment of outstanding salaries. Zimbabwe Armagated Railways Workers Union President Kamurai Moyo says the families started gathering at the Rugare premises since last Friday night. NRZ workers in Harare, Mutare, Gweru and Bulawayo went on strike last week to press for the payment of salaries dating back to last year. Moyo tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri the workers had no other option because they have tried in vain to engage the NRZ management.
The action by workers is out of the desperate situation that is faced by railway employees. Railway employees have gone for months without salary. Talking of going for months, we are now in the 15th month because for the whole of 2015 and up to the end, we have got January, February, March for this year. They have not received the salary for those months. So that on its own, the failure by the employer to pay salary has contributed to railway employees taking action.
What is the National Railways of Zimbabwe saying about this?
It is very unfortunate that a responsible employer seems to be ignoring what employees are saying on the ground. Instead, what they did, they had to run to the Ministry of Labour, Labour and Social Welfare, to seek for a show cause order. Of which a show cause order, you are supposed to appear before the minister in terms of labour, Section 106. You are supposed to appear before the minister to state the reasons why you are taking such an action. But it's funny. Funny enough, the railways knows the reason and they even acknowledge in their submissions to the Ministry of Labour. They acknowledge that railway employees have gone on strike because they've 15 months unpaid salary and 5 months unpaid transport allowance. So they know the reason. Why would they write to the Ministry of Labour?
How many families are camped outside the railway's offices in Lokinva?
Several. What I can simply say, all those who are renting, those who don't own houses, all of them, they are in Lokinva.
That was Kamurai Moyo, president of the Zimbabwe Armagated Railways Workers Union, on the line with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. NRZ spokesperson Fanyo Masikati said NRZ was doing its best to address this issue, but the problem is low business. He noted that like most parastatals, his company has been struggling to raise money to pay its workers.
Hello there. To mark Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary, Studio 7 will be giving out solar-powered radios or T-shirts for our lucky winners. Simply invite 10 friends to join our VOA Studio 7 Facebook page. Ask them to like our page. Keep their names so we can verify your claim. We will also be running a daily competition for lucky winners. You only need to answer a simple question about Zimbabwe's independence. The draw will be conducted April 18th, Independence Day. Don't be left out.
Don't be left out indeed. And today's question is, who was the commander of the Zandla forces? Send your answer to our WhatsApp number 001-202-465-0318. That number again, 001-465-0318.
Zimbabweans who intended to stage a public protest today over local women stranded in Kuwait were blocked by the police have vowed to continue with their action. They say police dispersed them and asked top officials of various non-governmental organizations leading the peaceful march to report to a local police station. Hundreds of Zimbabwean women promised good jobs in Kuwait by alleged con men have been turned into slaves and commercial sex workers in the Arabian nation. Linda Masarira, founder of and national coordinator of the Zimbabwe Women in Politics Alliance, tells Studio 7 her organization will be filing an urgent high court application seeking to compel the government to assist in the repatriation of the stranded women.
When we got to the venue where we were supposed to start our march, we got there and there was ZRP police. When we were about to unpack our placards and all, they came to us and told us that we could not go ahead with a march as it was not sanctioned. I actually had a one-on-one with one of the police officers who was there as I was trying to let him see that it is our constitutional right for us to demonstrate, to go and give the Kuwait embassy our petition. But he reiterated that you cannot go to Kuwait embassy because if you go to Kuwait embassy, you would have invaded Kuwait. And it was not all right for the relations between Kuwait and Zimbabwe. So in the process, when we're trying to talk to the police, trying to let them see that we had actually notified them, which is a legal requirement. We don't have to get permission from them to demonstrate. But they were adamant, and they said we could not do anything and we're supposed to vacate the place. As we were talking, one of the officers from ZRP called and asked us to come to Central. So we actually decided that we'd go to Central and went into our cars. As we were in our cars, some of the girls who were in the pickup lifted up their placards. When they lifted up their placards, one of the police officers and took those placards. We went after the policeman and took our placards back. During that time, three women were arrested, Lynette Mudewe, Dakazire Gatsi, and Loveness Kudanga.
So what is the way forward? How are you going to carry this cause of fighting for the girls that you say are stranded in Kuwait against their will?
We are actually going to do an urgent High Court application to move the government to make sure that these women are repatriated as early as possible. And we are also going to ask our lawyer to escort us to the Kuwait embassy and leave our petition there.
That was Linda Masarira, founder and national coordinator of the Zimbabwe Women in Politics Alliance.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This month we are commemorating Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary. The 18th of April 1980 was a significant moment celebrated by millions of people, including the late great Bob Nesta Marley, on Independence Day in Harare. What are your thoughts of that moment? And what about 36 years later? Send us your thoughts on our WhatsApp number 001-202-465-0318. That number again, 001-202-465-0318. We are also on Facebook and Twitter.
We have a message from one of our listeners, Killian Bebe.
When we got independence, we were enjoying a lot in the sense that the new government which was coming in was from the liberation struggle. We thought we were going to live a better life, which, yes, we enjoyed it for almost some years. But along the line, we were so deeply disappointed because of the government which came in. As of now, we are scattered all over the world with no jobs, no food, nothing, no work. So looking at the independent for this year, we don't think we have got any new thing which we say we can celebrate for this independence. We have been taken backwards in the time of Ian Smith, whereby even if it was under colonialism, that colonialism looks better than what it is today, because we are now living in a hungry country. Anything, whatever you want to name, which is bad in Zimbabwe, you can get it.
Thanks very much, Killian Bebe. Don't be left out. Send your recorded message to our WhatsApp number 001-202-465-0318. That number again, 001-465-0318.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
this evening in our Diaspora Forum, we are featuring a Zimbabwean entrepreneur based here in the USA.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Republican Ted Cruz and Democrat Bernie Sanders trail in the overall race to be their party's nominee for president, but each scored an important primary victory Tuesday in the northeastern state of Wisconsin. Cruz defeated Donald Trump 48% to 35% and called the victory a turning point and rallying cry to America. The Texas senator also turned his attention to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the Democratic frontrunner, boasting that we will not only beat the Republican, but get the nomination also the November general election. VOA's national correspondent Jim Malone has this to say about the outcome of the primaries. Unfortunately, something happened to Jim, and Iceland Prime Minister says he has not resigned as previously reported, but has merely suggested that the vice chairman of his party takes over the office for an unspecified amount of time.
And in an effort to relieve privacy concerns, the popular instant messaging service WhatsApp says it will encrypt all messages sent via its app. The move by WhatsApp to secure its users' messages comes at a time of heightened sensitivity of cybersecurity and privacy. As the United States engages a high-profile debate about the balance between the need for individual privacy and national security concerns. Children of former freedom fighters are not happy with the way government has treated their parents, leading them to grow up under immense poverty despite the critical role they played in liberating Zimbabwe from colonial rule. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba reports from Mashingo.
The war veterans' sons and daughters are expressing these sentiments at a time Zimbabwe is preparing to commemorate its 36th independence anniversary. Those who spoke to Studio 7 claim that their parents are remembered by the ruling elite when ZANU-PF is campaigning in crucial elections. Timothy Guruva, whose father fought several well-known battles in some parts of the country and during the Liberation War of the 1970s, says his family is suffering despite living with a person who is a former combatant.
The government of the day, which is being led by President Robert Mugabe, has actually let down the war veterans, the people who were in the trenches fighting for this country. You find they are not given their respect that they deserve. They earn a very paltry money, something between $150 to $200 for somebody who went to war. And their payroll, they are the last ones to get their monies, of which it's not something which is not fair for people who sacrificed a lot to bring about the independence that we enjoy today. Also, government, it seems it's neglecting them. You find most of them, they are not a part of the government. They are not employed in any way.
All veterans received gratuities of $50,000 each in 1997. But despite that windfall, most of them and their families are living in abject poverty. Most of them get monthly pensions of $150 per month each, which they claim are not enough to cater for their needs. Charles Gwenure is another son of a war veteran who says his father is failing to feed them, let alone pay their school fees due to low state of pensions.
We are not happy with the treatment of our parents who fought for the liberation of this country. The government promised to pay school fees to us, children of war veterans, but we are being sent away from school and colleges because government is failing to honor its promise.
Apart from such challenges, the children of the war veterans also claim that government does not have medical schemes for former freedom fighters who are getting older and have become susceptible to some diseases. They claim that they are also not being catered for in terms of health care. The children say they are no longer proud to be associated with the Zimbabwe's liberation struggle. Linda Gandu of Mchabiwa in Gutu Communal Lands, Masvingo Province, is one of them.
Personally, I can say I'm proud to be one. Why? Because you are not benefiting from everything that is happening in this country. Let's take, for example, we are only being called when they need us to beat, especially in the times of elections, that's when we are being recognized in the country. Then to school, we are not even benefiting. We are hardly recognized. So I can't say I'm benefiting from what my parents did during the war. I can't say they are. Why? Because they're not even benefiting anything. They're only benefiting when the elections are around the corner. That is when they're being called, given some financial aid. But besides that, they were hardly benefiting from it.
She adds that instead of being recognized economically as young people born of parents who brought freedom to the country, they are regarded as loyal party youth who are used as agents of political violence during campaign elections. Her sentiments were echoed by Tonderai Gumbi of Mcheke High Density Suburb.
Yeah, my experience as a son of a national war liberator hero, it's not good. I'm not happy with that. Since I was born, my parents have been struggling. As they never get formal employment, they are being sidelined from various government programs. And these various programs is like indigenization and the land.
Quoted for comment, War Veterans Minister Chinga Duve said, open quote, government will continue to take the welfare of war veterans seriously, and we are currently having meetings to resolve some of these issues. As for school fees for their families, we had a small challenge at the Ministry of Finance, and it has been resolved. So very soon, the fees will be coming in, close quote. There are an estimated 30,000 war veterans in Zimbabwe. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masvingo, I am Kandri Maramba.
Zimbabweans boast of being entrepreneurs and normally use their acquired skills to survive under harsh conditions that they face in various countries. One such enterprising Zimbabwean is Tafara-born Samson Fellow, who has set up a moving company in Virginia State in the United States. Fellow moved to the United States 10 years ago and worked for various moving companies where he honed his skills. He later partnered with another Zimbabwean, Tatenda Mahari, to form F&M Movers. Fellow is also a seasoned musician who has performed with music icon Oliver Mtukudzi and other singers here in the United States. He says he is currently working on an album with childhood friend and New York-based Matthias Julius. In our diaspora segment today, reporter Jonga Kandemiri speaks with Fellow, who says what Zimbabweans in the diaspora are lacking is supporting each other's business.
My life here in America is not, it's not bad at all. I cannot complain, though it is a little hard sometimes. But as an immigrant, you have to work hard to survive in a foreign land.
How are you surviving?
At the moment, I am a mover. I move people. We do residential moving, and also we do commercial moves as well if we get anybody who wants our service.
Are you working for somebody, or you have formed your own company?
I used to work for a company, but at the moment, I've started a company called F&M Movers. I'm partnering with a friend of mine called Tatenda Mahari. We are registered on Moving Help, which is under U-Haul. So when people go and rent trucks, they then choose whether they want helpers to move them. There are companies which are listed on the Moving Help website. So if you require or if you need any help, you then click on any companies according to the reviews that you have as a company. So that is how we are working at the moment.
Mr. Fellow, moving is not something that is done almost on a daily basis. How are you surviving?
That is true that people don't move every day, but there are so many websites that people are looking for moving, and also how big this country is. So we move people from state to state, as far as Atlanta, Georgia, Dallas, Texas. So the market is very, very big. And sometimes it's slow, depending with the season, because the cold season here gets very brutal, so nobody wants to move in the cold season. So we try and utilize the summer season, which is where we're getting into now. We get a lot of work during summertime. We work until some crazy hours, until maybe 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning, or we drive for hours and hours to go and deliver people's furniture as far as San Antonio, Texas.
You are also into music. How do you find time for all this?
There's always time for it. When I get back home, I usually, you know, me and my kids, we sit. I have two toddlers who are also very musical. They love it when I am playing around with the gadget or the instruments that I use to make music. And also I have a friend of mine who's in my childhood friend who lives in New York. His name is Matthew Julius. We are working on an album. So we're always making music. And with that talent you are born with, and it will never go away. So it's always in you. You're always singing. I find myself just creating music all the time.
Are you supporting any families or any projects back home?
It's very hard sometimes, but you have to work hard to be able to sustain two families, which means siblings back home and your family here. For me, I've been doing this for the past 12 years that I've been outside Zimbabwe. I've been away from home. I've been able to, you know, the little bit that I get, I share with my family, my brothers, my sisters, my family here. And it's been like that ever since.
That was Samson Fellow on the line with reporter Jonga Kandemiri from Alexandria in the United States of Virginia, United States, speaking on the Diaspora Forum.
Now we take you to VOA's national correspondent Jim Malone speaking on the U.S. elections.
We had a very important result in Wisconsin. On the Republican side, Ted Cruz defeated Donald Trump. Not only is that significant for Ted Cruz, it's significant for the people in the Republican Party who want to stop Donald Trump. They now see an opening to slow Trump down as he moves toward the Republican nomination. The main way to do that would be to deny Trump the delegates he needs ahead of the national convention in July, so that by the time they get to that convention, it will be a competitive, contested convention, and the outcome will be uncertain. So for those who support that idea, Wisconsin was a big victory. And for Trump, it's a setback. But looking ahead now, Trump has a chance to recoup some of his losses. The next primary will occur in Trump's home state of New York in less than 2 weeks, on April 19th. So Trump could get back into the race and back into a big lead if he can do well against Ted Cruz and John Kasich in New York on the 19th. As for the Democratic race, we also expect a very fierce struggle in New York on the 19th between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Both of them have roots in the state of New York. Clinton used to be the senator from there. Sanders was raised in Brooklyn. Sanders is coming off another big win in Wisconsin, which gives him momentum, but he still has to do even better to catch up in the delegate count against Hillary Clinton. So that race will go on, but Clinton remains in front. Lots of developments to talk about as we move ahead, and we'll try to keep you posted here from Voice of America.
Thanks, Jim Malon. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Nhlanganya Huye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.